All right. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
This is Actually Comics for May 9th.
Oh, my God.
Wednesday's Comics. We're doing this the day before, so this is Tuesday. And there's so much stuff out this week, as per usual, but there's there's a ton of stuff that I was really excited about.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of things that I would have read regardless, so I'm actually pretty stoked to talk about a few things, but we're going to have to blow through it because there's so many, so we're going to start right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, and there was a few things that was not expecting to be really good, but ended up being really good. And I guess why don't we
The first
start
one would be...
off with the thing that I thought would be really good, or didn't think. Well, I actually thought it might be good, and it turned out it was really good.
Yes.
Venom. Number one. New Venom number one from Marvel. Donny Cates, Ryan Stegman. This is a relaunch of Venom.
I'm confused. There's no way that is Ryan Stegman doing that.
No,
artwork.
It is. And you can see it.
It's so weird. It looks nothing like him to me.
I mean, maybe he had a really long time to make it super awesome. Maybe the digital colorist is kind of adding a touch.
Interesting.
But this is kind of going in a direction that's builds off of the classic Venom setup, but also builds a new kind of level, maybe even a little similar to some of the Deadpool stuff. Not in that there is a voice inside his head, which is the symbiote. The symbiote talks in this. But man, this was a great first issue.
Yeah. I love how multidimensional Venom is as a character in this. It's so not the 90s version. It really hits a point where Venom, where the symbiote itself is a character. Eddie Brock is a real character. Everybody is fleshed out. And for collector nerds, there's like three first appearances in it that are super important. There's a redesign of the Venom costume. There's like all sorts of things that make this a collector issue. But on top of that, it's a great comic.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that it kind of goes back to like almost like the original like McFarlane Venom, in that he's not constantly like his tongue is hanging out. I mean, maybe if you like that, I think there is plenty of that to go around, especially on the cover. But it's like I actually saw something recently this week in reading stuff about comics online, as I do, and there was a "When does Venom's tongue first appear?" And it's McFarlane never drew him with the tongue ever. Mm-hmm. He always just had the grin, which was really kind of spooky when you go back to those old things, even in that kind of McFarlane cartoony way. But it was Eric Larson that gave him the crazy kooky tongue.
Oh yeah, and they did the "Alas, Poor Yurik" cover.
With the
huge tongue and him holding the skull.
Yeah, the skull, which is the one where he thought Spider-Man was dead. Spider-Man tricked him into thinking he was dead. Which, why would that ever work? But but this is really
have you read Savage Dragon?
Yeah.
So don't even.
It's a. But this is a nice hybrid horror superhero hybrid. I think is a good way to look at this. It's hard to talk about a lot of what happens in it without spoiling.
Yeah, it's full of spoilers. If you ever thought that you wanted to read a Venom comic, this is the one to read, and it's wonderful.
And if you like Venom and haven't read it in a long time and we're looking for a revisitation of the character, do this. Really great art, really cool story, new and a nice mix of new and old, a nice mix of horror and superhero, the lethal protector, Venom.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Super, super into it.
That was good.
Okay, cool. Ooh.
Moving on. I'm going to talk about one that there was a little bit of a surprise in this, and I'm a huge Hellboy fan from the second miniseries and straight through, and that has been kind of a wacky ride, especially over the last few years, but they are clearly this is, so I'm talking about BPRD, The Devil You Know, number 6. Number 5 came out months ago, so I'm not sure exactly what the delay was until I looked at the first 4 pages and realized that they were drawn by Mike Mignola himself, and that's probably why it took so long to come out. I'm going to spoil this. Hellboy's back in BPRD, and it is everything for me. Mm-hmm. Like the dynamic between the three characters of Hellboy, Abe Sapien, the merman, and Liz Sherman, the Firestarter, was a huge part of what I loved about this series. And as people who followed the series know, Hellboy was separated from the BPRD, then Hellboy died, then Hellboy was in hell. You had this whole kind of kooky thing going on. Well, he's no longer in hell. There's a return of a long absent character from the BPRD universe in this guy.
Oh, wow. Holy
which
shit.
Is awesome. Although it's only a couple panels, it's still kind of like, well, all right, you know? Great. I dug this. I really like the art by Sebastian Fiumara. There are a few pages by Mignola himself. There's a variant cover I saw with Mignola art.
Yep.
So if you're a Mignola purist, you can grab this. Honestly, you don't even really need to have read a lot of the last bunch of issues. There's a nice recap page.
You pretty much hit all the important
points.
I mean,
Hellboy back in the BPRD, that's huge for me. I love this.
It
was very, very sad to see.
Very cool.
And it actually happened in the last issue that they found him, so I knew it was coming, which is why I don't feel so bad spoiling.
All right. I want to talk about something that we talked about when the first issue came out that was a big shocker for us as far as like a comic that I absolutely love. We had to do a reorder on it because we sold out, which is, again, shocking.
That's awesome.
RoboCop Citizen's Arrest number 2 is out.
Boom.
And man, Citizen's Arrest number 1 blew me away. I was so into it. I've always wanted there to be a good RoboCop comic, and they're kind of few and far between.
Yeah.
There's some fun Dark Horse stuff that has that Dark Horse feel to it, but this is the first thing that really hit on making it a relevant social statement again. There's a lot of weird stuff about it. It's, you know, militarized culture, et cetera, but it rules.
This is just story art. I actually, you have somewhat of an advantage over me on this one in that I didn't actually read this issue simply because I loved the first issue so much. And we're just kind of cramming through a bunch of stuff leading up to this podcast taping. Or recording. So I didn't read this cause I know I'll love it and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. Again, highest recommendation is RoboCop Citizen's Arrest.
Yeah, that gets a top rating. Another one that, are we done talking about RoboCop? Or
sure, yeah.
Do you have more to say?
No, not
definitely
at all.
We should talk about that, but I was thinking, so 2 issues of a new series from Brian K. Vaughan, who the popular writer of Saga, he has a new series called Barrier with Marcos Martin, who I think is one of the best artists working in comics today. They had done a previous collaboration called The Private Eye, which I have never read for some stupid reason. This comic is playing with format a little bit in that it runs sideways. So it's a little wonky to flip through it. You don't realize how ingrained flipping through comics pages is to you until you start reading a comic where the orientation is completely sideways. But this is a mystery set on in the Texas-Mexico border, but it goes real weird real quick. And there's 2 issues out. It's a little bit longer than your normal, so it's not going to fit in any of your comic book bags, which is kind of irritating to some, I'm sure. And it's just looks like the first issue is $4.99, second issue is back to the normal $3.99 of Image. But, the one thing I would say as a preface to this is that a solid half of the first issue, which is oversized, is written in Spanish. So I don't know that you need to be able to speak Spanish in order to understand what's going on. I felt like I had a pretty solid grasp on it, but maybe that might put some people who don't speak Spanish off. I'm not sure. I think that if you like Brian K. Vaughan, it's not going to... you're not going to care. I thought this was really cool, really visually stunning. Martin plays with the format in really effective and cool ways. And I'm on board for Barrier from Image. 1 and 2 are on the stands, which I'm not sure that was.
Yeah, I have no idea if we like somehow missed an issue and we just got it shipped late or something. Who knows?
But it's out, and you can get both issues at Coast City Comics, and I would highly recommend checking it out. It's cool.
Awesome. Another one that's out this week is New Mutants number 3, the New Mutants Dead Souls miniseries. It's great.
kind of snakes on a plane vibe on this
it's
one.
It's got a real snakes on a plane vibe. Lots of magic, lots of nonsense. It's fun.
Yeah, it's some classic New Mutants characters and X-Force characters. And this issue almost entirely takes place on a plane. And it was cool. I liked it.
All right.
Let's see. One that knocked my socks off a little bit. I've been kind of knocking
this
Hunt for Wolverine thing.
Knocked my socks off.
I wasn't expecting. So Wolverine, Hunt for Wolverine, The Adamantium Agenda, number one. This is essentially a follow-up to Bendis's New Avengers. It's Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Spider-Man, Tony Stark, Iron Man. And they're looking for Wolverine because his body is missing, but also is
Jessica Jones?
Yeah, that's Jessica Jones.
I thought it was Mockingbird.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No. Sorry. And Jessica Jones has some great lines. That's written by Tom Taylor, who did the most recent Wolverine miniseries that Tristan likes a lot. I can see why.
Yeah.
I had an idea of just something to mention in the podcast.
That makes so much more sense. How did I not? Oh, my God.
You can really tell if a comic is good within the first couple pages. And that comic had me at the first. The art was great. Cool. Just dialogue was really witty. And you got right into the story. Basically, what the deal is that the New Avengers are reuniting in order to honor Wolverine due to some kind of sacrifice play he made during the New Avengers that you never saw. And I really liked that run. That was when Stuart Eminem was drawing it, and it was just really, it was good. I liked that kind of, it's kind of become Defenders now, but to me, I don't know. It was cool. And it's cool to see Tony Stark doing Tony Stark Iron Man stuff. This kind of, they think they've found someone who's auctioning off Wolverine's corpse. So
auctioning
they go
off
to this.
His DNA structure.
His DNA structure, right. And then at the end, they find out who. Where
yeah,
the.
Don't,
and it's, I'm not gonna, but. But
so
cool,
good.
But cool. And it opens up a lot.
Yeah,
can I
it's
talk
such
about,
a bummer that they would make it such a stupid fucking name.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's like, it's such a one-off, it's such an, all those things, and it's like, this is the best, one of the best X-Men books. I mean, I guess it only has one X-Man in it, so.
Which,
I mean,
Adamantium one?
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I picked it up because I want to talk about everything that's coming out that's good, and this one, I was not expecting anything out of it,
yeah.
And it ended up being one of the better books of the week.
Yeah, so good.
Cool. So we've been talking a lot about alternate timelines. Apparently Marvel is really doubling down on alternate timelines because there are two books to lump into that category. Although both of them, I'm linking them thematically. We talked about Venomized recently and how put a Venom suit on everybody.
Yes.
And it's real dumb. And I think it's real dumb. Well, go ahead and prove me wrong. Chip Zdarsky and Robbie Thompson. Because we had Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, number 304 from Zdarsky and Adam Kubert. And this is an alternate reality where Peter quit being Spider-Man. There is a wicked cool Venom variation in this. I think Tristan missed it, so I'm going to flip to it. It's friggin' awesome.
Oh, God damn it.
And so anyway, it's an alternate timeline. Osborn is in charge. Everybody's mostly dead. You've got Doctor Strange, Captain America, Spider-Man as just Peter Parker. Gwen Stacy's in it. It was just a fun, somewhat confusing, but not like it didn't. It's just weird. You know, alternate realities are weird, and that's what that is. Another alternate reality is Spider-Man Deadpool. Number 32. This was way better than I thought it was going to be and featured a really cool future Fantastic Four, which has Daredevil, Valeria Richards in a Doctor Doom suit, the Thing's kid who looks just like the Thing except for a giant man sized, and a version of Venom who is merged with the Vision. Which is a very strange. They didn't really do a lot with that. This But it's Spider-Man and Deadpool, and they're old, and it's in the future, and it's weird, and I didn't really understand it, but man, that future Fantastic Four was wicked cool.
I absolutely love Valeria. Like, anytime they bring her into something, yeah. I'm super stoked. I mean, that Hickman run that where she became so important. The future lies in doom, or all hope lies in doom, or whatever that story arc was.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, well,
she was
cool.
So cool. And her little weird secret relationship with Dr. Doom, yeah. where, like, she calls him Uncle Doom and everybody else thinks he's a monster, and she's like, nah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I'm smarter than all of you.
Smartest thing you ever did was name me after Dr. Doom's mom, yeah, or whatever it is.
I know what's going on, and you guys are all...
Yeah.
You guys are fucking up. We'll take care of it.
Definitely. So it was fun. Just kind of, if you like Spider-Man, Deadpool, it's going to be more of the same. If you like alternate realities, pretty cool.
One of the bigger books of the week is the last book of Batman White Knight, mm-hmm. Sean Murphy, obviously, we probably should segue into the fact that Saturday we will be having a signing from 5 to 7 with Sean at the store. And then we're going to go out to Little Giant and get drunk and try to convince him to do something weird with Batman in the next one. either way, Batman White Knight, it finishes up. It's a really actually very satisfying ending. I was really happy with the way that it went. There are some weird little bits of White Knight as you go through where it's like, oh, I wonder how that was meant, and I wonder how this is. And it feels like that kind of hit this little point where you're like, oh, man, there were two big, like, heartstring pulls that absolutely worked. Or maybe they just worked on me. I was just like, oh, damn, ow, oh.
Mm.
Like, there were a few little sacrifice plays and a few other things like that that were like, oh, no, wow. But it was great. I absolutely loved it. I'm
flipping through it now.
Yeah,
this is another one where I know I'm gonna love it. So I didn't read it today, but man, this looks freaking great.
It's really great, and the reveal at the end. There's a few little moments of just like real extreme like surprises, and just pretty great. I really dug it.
Yeah. Definitely cool.
And we're going to take a break just for 2 seconds. We'll be right back. Okay, I think that we've prevented the cats from doing anything terrible again.
Yes, the cats.
And we're back.
We're back from the terror of cats.
Yes.
And the terror of Medieval Spawn Witchblade, number one.
So, Medieval Spawn Witchblade came out this week.
We've decided we're not going to talk about.
We just did. And there it is. If you want those things, there it is.
If you like that,
it's there for you.
It's there for you. I'm going to talk about, very briefly, Green Lantern, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, specifically number 44, is out this week. It has a really cool variant cover that drew me to it. It is the first part of a storyline where the Green Lanterns are in a... I don't know. I'm not going to talk about it. I thought it was really good. There's some really interesting and cool... allusions to, I'm not used to a reality where these guys know that the Crisis on Infinite Earths existed.
Yeah.
And yet they do and reference it in this issue. And there's an overall storyline. I like this. I really like this. Even the part with Jon Stewart versus General Zod, which was really cool. He's got this like Green Lantern brass knuckles, but like, nope, it's not really Green Lantern brass knuckles. It's something else that's green and glows.
Smart it's John his Stewart. Wiener.
It's his Green Lantern.
Yes. What? Nothing. Okay. What do I want to talk about? I want to talk mostly, I want to talk about Domino again.
Yeah.
Domino was cool. I love this book.
Nice.
I really, really do. Aces all the way across. There's not much I need to say about it. It's just very good.
I'm seeing ads for this Ant-Man and the Wasp book that's all throughout these Marvel books, and I'm actually really interested in and kind of excited about reading that. Domino was good. I read it.
Yeah, David convinced me to order a lot more of that than I was going to. I was like, ugh, miniseries.
It's a miniseries?
Yeah, it was like, it's a miniseries, and it was like tying into a movie. I'm like, oh no, how about I get two? David was like, no, don't do that.
I don't know. I don't know why it's... I mean, maybe it's because I saw Ant-Man for the first time like 2 days ago, and maybe that's why, but I don't know.
Either way, Ant-Man is one of the better movies that Marvel has made.
I liked it.
That movie
was
cool.
I think I'm looking forward to the sequel.
Yeah.
By the way, as long as we're talking about movies, I was going to see Avengers on my days off, but I didn't. Instead, I saw Blockers. Go see Blockers.
Okay.
Awesome movie.
It's funny. Like all the previews made me think that I was going to hate it. And then
Avengers or Blockers?
Blockers. Oh, and then I saw all of the people who were involved in writing it. And I was like, it's like 30 Rock people.
It's really funny.
Oh, you're
so glad I saw it.
You're someone who I like.
John Cena was amazing in it. Like, I don't know. I really.
He tends to be very good in
stuff. But this is the comics podcast, so we're not going to, you know, basically, I'm just talking about the fact that I still haven't seen Avengers. and you are Deadpool. Number two is out. I talked a lot about that last...
You Are Deadpool is great.
I really like You Are Deadpool. It's really fun.
This one's based on the old Marvel role-playing game, and you get to roll dice to...
Yeah, well, the last one you had, they encourage you to make and roll dice as well.
Yes, that's right. You cut out the page.
Yeah, this is just... I was trying to place where this variant cover came from.
The yellow box Marvel role-playing game.
And this does indeed include the awesome Beat Poetry minigame. I really like You Are Deadpool. It's super fun.
It is. Did we talk about, you know what? Let's talk about Deadpool as well.
Yeah,
let's
just talk. Deadpool. Where is it?
Deadpool 300 came out this week. And
where is that? Here it is. 300 issues of Deadpool? How is that possible?
I gotta say, I keep saying that I don't like Deadpool, and then I keep reading Deadpool and really liking it.
Yeah.
This... I laughed several times during this. I mean, it really hit me. There's a lot of puke humor. There's some real trauma moments in this thing.
Of puke in this. A ton. Like, and that's not literally even an exaggeration. Giant man pukes in this. So
yes.
There is a ton of puke. I didn't see this because I was so fixated on You Are Deadpool. I didn't see Despicable Deadpool 300. And I just read it really, flipped through it really quickly. Here at the studio, and
yes,
I agree. It's great.
Yeah,
it's great. Sets up the new series, ends the old one.
It really, yeah. It's a very clever way to get rid of old continuity and all the stuff that's bogging down the series before they reboot it. It was
to time perfectly with the new movie and all that.
It was a smart move.
Yeah,
and also just like,
but satisfying too.
But just a really fun book.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah.
Yeah. Dug it. What's the? Yeah.
It's probably a $50 issue if it's Deadpool.
It's not. It's affordable for its
there's
size.
There's some wonderful meta stuff in it as well.
What is the issue number on this?
Star Wars Adventures number 10.
Okay, so Star Wars Adventures number 10 has a first story of Han Solo and Chewbacca with the artist, the new Squirrel Girl artist Derek Charm, who also drew the Jughead series. Zdarsky did. Was that Zdarsky or whoever it was? Ryan North. I don't know who it was.
It was Ryan North.
But Derek Charm is the artist. But the real gem of Star Wars Adventures number 10 is this artist. She may not be on your radar, but she's definitely on mine. Elsa Charretier.
Not mine.
She is amazing, and she does this incredible Lando story in the back. I would buy this issue just for the Lando story. It kind of bummed me out that the Lando story is continued because they could have just had one issue with just Lando by her. I'd have been all over that. Loved it. Art's great. The story was on both. We're fun, lighthearted. It's Star Wars kids' fare. If you have a kid that likes Star Wars and you're not getting them Star Wars Adventures, you should start because it's for them.
Yep.
Great fun two stories in an issue. I also was, segueing again into a new issue here. X-Men Blue, number 27. Best issue of the series, I think, so far. The best thing that they could do is get away from these original X-Men.
Yeah. Because
this is like this weird team of Jimmy Wolverine.
Bring back Maggot.
Yeah, right? I'd be fine with that. This has Zorn and Bloodstorm and Dakin and Jimmy.
What?
And
who the hell is Bloodstorm?
Bloodstorm is a alternate. It's from Exiles. It's an alternate universe version of Storm where she's a vampire.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
Bloodstorm.
Yeah. I didn't know that her name was Bloodstorm.
Her name is Bloodstorm. There's also some other characters in this, but it honestly doesn't really matter. It's essentially a Polaris story, and it has something to do with Havoc being evil and Magneto and Polaris trying to make him not evil anymore. But it was, you know, for if you are in any way up on modern X-Men continuity, this is one of the least confusing. And the art in it, I thought, was very good. It's a guy that used to, Marcus Toe, or Two, he's drawn a bunch of stuff as kind of like a kind of pinch hitter artist. Really good. They should keep him going.
Yeah. Resident Alien number 2, yeah, or of An Alien in New York, is out. Yeah. This series,
great,
is so underrated, or or underappreciated at least. Every single one of these miniseries has been some of my favorite stuff, especially just some of my favorite, like, I don't even know what to call it, like mystery series.
But it's like a character, like, this would be a great television show. It's it's very character driven and just well thought out, well paced, well crafted. The art is not gonna like knock your socks off, but it's so perfect for the series. And it's just, he's a really, Steve Parkhouse is a great artist. He's just not a flashy artist at all.
Well, it's funny though, because the book itself, like the whole series so far, has been very non-flashy. Like everything about it has been
quiet,
smart, perfectly paced, perfectly executed. It reads like a great novel. Just a quick break to tell you guys that this podcast is sponsored by Coast City Comics. Coast City Comics is your only independent, 100% independent comic shop. We are working for only us. We're making all of our stuff. We're crafting the comic books by hand, weaving little looms. And actually, none of that is true, but we are really, really independent, and we need your money, and we need your help, and we need support from you guys, and it's awesome that you guys support us, and we want you to keep doing it. All of our shirts are made in-house, all of our pins and patches and all these things. We make all this stuff, and to keep doing that, we need a bunch of people to continue to come by, and so keep doing that. I know, this sounds like a fucking NPR thing, doesn't it? Don't mean to pledge drive y'alls, but you know what? Maybe I do. Maybe if you enjoy programs like this, and if you enjoy things like the Funbox Monster Emporium magazine, and things like, I don't know, all the other crap that we do, which is a lot of crap. We do so much stuff. Guys, so much stuff. Come and support us. Come play pinball. Come go to our website. Purchase some things from our website. There's got to be something you're looking for. We put all sorts of stuff up on there. Visit CoastCityComics.com, check out our comic selection, which is pretty vast. If there's something on there that you don't see, give us a call at the store, 207-899-1505, and maybe somebody at the store can help you out. We're open 11 to 8 every day, and, you know, we got some cool things. We do some cool stuff. You guys, we're pretty great. Come see us. Yeah, I would just say that everyone should pick up the first two or three of these. Just at least check out the first trade of Resident Alien. It's so worth it. It's great. And if you are caught up, just know that it continues to be one of the smartest books out there, and you should totally be reading it.
Yeah, and just kind of you know, if you're completely ignorant of the series, it's an alien who is masquerading as a doctor, and so it's got a almost a kind of a soap opera element, but
yes, one in 100,000 people or something like that can see through his disguise. He has the ability to cloud the minds of humans to just hide himself. He's a benevolent force. He's trying to do good. He's trying to help people out. But obviously, when somebody notices that he's an alien, they freak the geek out and everything goes crazy.
It's a great series. I couldn't recommend it more. I am now somewhat distracted because Tristan has brought two books that I did not read, and I want to see why. Oh. So I'm flipping through them.
So, one of the books is Wonder Woman. There's a new There's a new arc starting called The Dark Gods. It's a Cheetah story, which is always, I dig it. It's classic. It reminds me of Super Friends. So I'm like, ooh. But I don't know. Wonder Woman so far in the DC universe has been one of the most consistent books out there. It's great. If you want a starting point, if you want to pick the book up, this is a great place to start it up again. But if you just want to read Wonder Woman stories that are fairly recent, just go back to the New 52 and read the first three trades of Brian Azzarello's Wonder Woman, because holy crap, that book is good. And that takes her out of the world of superheroes, puts her kind of smack dab in the middle of like just the Greek god pantheon. And it's awesome. It's basically Xena Warrior Princess redone as Wonder Woman, but more like Hercules the Legendary Journeys, because Hera's trying to kill somebody or trying to kill her. But it's great. But also, so is this book. And again, it's just straight up normal fun Wonder Woman stuff. It's not going to change the world. It's not, you know, it's not brilliant, but it is fun superhero comic stuff.
All hail the Dark Gods.
Also, Incredible Hulk, World War Hulk 2, this series that's going on now. It's Incredible Hulk. The legacy numbering is 716. Greg Pak continues to be writing the totally awesome Amadeus Cho. He's flipped out a little bit. The Hulk is in control, and he is starting to realize that everyone around him is completely inferior to him in every single way. He's smarter and stronger than everyone around him. And so why wouldn't they just answer to the Hulk? And he makes them all answer to him.
Wow.
Cool. Yes. And Analog. Yeah. I don't even know what this book is. I don't think I've given it a single try.
Well, I read number one. This is the same writer of Deadpool, or the most recent ending Deadpool. We've got a cat coming, so do we need to go to commercial?
You know what? Hold on. We'll talk about Analog right after this. Hey guys, I'm sorry to break in here, but I just wanted to tell you that Coast City Comics is offering 20% off to subscribers every day for everything in the store. So if you guys come in and you subscribe to, let's say, 10 titles through us, we're going to give you 20% off everything in our store. That's pretty amazing. You should subscribe today. You can go through our website, www.coastcitycomics.com. You can come into the store. You can just give us a call. We ship stuff over $25, and we're going to ship for free. CoastCityComics.com. Okay,
so we're back, and we are talking about Analog, number two, issue two from Image, Jerry Duggan, Ryan O'Sullivan. It just says O'Sullivan, so it could be anyone. O'Sullivan. This is a slightly futuristic, barely futuristic world where technology kind of compromises you, and this gentleman is the protagonist, is unplugged from all tech, and people are trying to kill him, and this just kind of builds the world. I really like just like the art. It's cool. It's worth checking out.
Cool.
Number two is Analog. Number two is out. Also, the newest Unbeatable Squirrel Girl is out tomorrow. This is Ryan North, the continuing writer, with Derek Charm, who I mentioned earlier in that Star Wars. This is the new artist. So Erica Henderson no longer drawing. This is Craven and Squirrel Girl and friends in an escape room. You know, this is a thing where it's like I almost hate to talk about Squirrel Girl before I've read it, because it's always a billion times more awesome than I expect. Like, I'll describe what, you know, I'll flip through it and be like, this is kind of what's going on. And it's like, that sounds stupid, or that sounds cool, or whatever it is. But it's like, it's whatever it is, it's awesome on a level that you can't comprehend unless you really sit down and read every page, which I have not done because it's not been released yet. And I've only, you know, whatever this, because of the nature of how we do this, I haven't read it.
All right, you take this one, I'll take this one.
You want me to talk first?
Yeah,
or
please.
You to talk first?
You go
yeah,
first.
I think we should close it on that one. Another number two from Image out. And this is a thing where, you know, Image number ones, they always sell. Image number twos maybe don't sell as well. Isola number two is out. This is from Brendan Fletcher and Carl Kerschel. We talked about the first issue being visually really cool. This is a fantasy series where the main character, who I believe is named Isola, is responsible for shepherding her queen, who is a green glowing tiger, and who she can communicate with, although you are not privy to what the tiger thinks. They're wandering through this fantasy landscape, and it's just crazy and cool, and I really like it. Isola, number two, really great. Man, just beautiful. Beautiful
cool.
book, and really cool story. Very different
awesome.
From everything else on the stands.
Okay,
all
and
right.
so last
so
would be...
Last, but there are other
probably.
Books other than what we've talked
yes.
about here. We just kind of grabbed
We did
lot.
Greatest hits here, but...
Speaking
Justice
of,
League is out this week. This is probably
Justice
the most,
League No Justice.
No Justice.
Number one.
This is Scott Snyder's new thing.
Yep.
Follow up for to...
Mini series.
Yep. Follow up to Metal.
Indeed.
It's
a direct continuation from Dark Knight's Metal.
It is a direct continuation. It's
We had differing opinions on this
we,
issue.
Yeah, please. Tell your opinion on this issue.
My opinion on this issue is that, okay... There's going to be some fairly, somewhat, maybe, perhaps, negative sounding. I think Scott Snyder is like kind of lost it. And I don't mean lost it in sense of like not being a good writer anymore. I just think it's like there's some kind of like thing. You mentioned he was kind of keeping himself in check, perhaps.
I
don't know.
I think when he started, he was like, I got to keep the fanboy stuff in check where like, I don't want to hit on
I
everything.
I expected to very much dislike this, as I was not a huge fan of Metal. However, I ended up kind of liking this a lot more than I thought. So the basic premise here is that Brainiac comes to... And I just like saying Brainiac.
That's fun.
Brainiac has come to Earth, and everybody's like, oh no. And he's defeating all of the superheroes, because that's what Brainiac does. And it's the Teen Titans and the Titans, and the Justice League and the Suicide Squad, and he's kicking the crap out of all of them. And he explains that, basically there's a threat, a cosmic level threat. And in order to combat this threat, somehow
they need to be less predictable.
So what happens is you get this weird hodgepodge of teams, and we all kind of knew this if we're paying attention to marketing that comes across and websites and
but you get Starro
and whatever
on one of the
but
teams.
You do you get Starro, who is very different from any incarnation of Starro that's ever appeared before, but is actually I think probably a lot more enjoyable than any incarnation of Starro that's occurred before. Basically what's happened is he's mixing up the ratio of Titans to Justice Leagues to whatever's, but then he's also throwing some villains in there. So you've got Sinestro and Lex Luthor and Starro and
Lobo,
who was already on the Justice League anyway. So that's, I don't know why he all of a sudden gets counted as a villain again, but you know, whatever.
Probably
it doesn't
murdering.
Really matter, because it's just like, it's Gonzo comic book, and you're either going to really like it or you're really going to not like it. I think that the art is by Marcos Martin, who I think is amazingly talented, and
yep.
I really liked the art. I think you said, Tristan, you said something about the coloring being kind of off-putting.
The coloring bugs me a little bit. There's a little, it's very pastel. The palette itself is that thing. It reminds me of like when you had one of the Green Lantern stories that was about the amethyst lanterns.
Yeah.
And then everything took a pastel turn where everything was baby blues. And it was like, whoa.
Well, and all the teams are color coordinated. So you have a color palette that like one of the teams is like kind of indigo colored. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like taking that color coordinated lantern core thing and then just applying it to like, oh, and it's nodes this time.
They all have nodes.
Nodes.
But that is a problem that I had with Green Lantern for a while, was just when they had the huge spectrum of colors. I mean, they still do, but there was a time when, before they calmed it down, you just had barfs of color on every page. Mm. Every blue, green, pink, every color was just represented in full force, and it was hard to look at.
Yeah, and also just like that same thing that bothers people about the lens flare from the J.J. Abrams movie. It's like there's this kind of digital lens flare on everything, and it's I can get that that criticism. This is not Alan Moore, you know. This is just
everything glows. Like every single thing in this universe, in this treatment of it, the colorist has made literally everything glow. And I mean, everybody's got these weird glowing nodes, so it is a theme.
What
it's thematically
line you said about the nodes that was really the line of dialogue from there that was really funny.
I can't even remember,
but there was something about the nodes are important.
But they are. They're very important.
They are important.
This all sounds very negative, but it's not. It's actually.
No, I thought it was fun.
It was saying that Scott Snyder's gone off his rocker. Again, it's just that he's doing these gigantic, boisterous, like,
yeah,
just huge stories that are crazy. And the fact that, so for me, Metal was crazy in a way that I'm so happy that somebody did it. Like when someone's like, when you see that like somebody actually made Ash versus the Evil Dead into a TV series, you go, wow, that's insane that someone greenlit that, but I'm very happy.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about Scott Snyder, where it's like, it seems insane that they would let him do what he's doing, but then he does it and then it's successful.
It's insane that they're letting him just kind of decide. It's in that same way that like, when Mark Millar was doing Civil War, and it was like someone just was like, yeah, we've got 50 years of publishing history that says character X acts like this. Yeah. And then Mark Millar is like, yeah, I'm just going to have him be like a Nazi. And it's like, okay. And so it's crazy to me in that it's greenlit on that level, where it's just like character, you know, Starro is the way Starro is now, or whatever. I mean, it doesn't.
Right.
In any way surprised me that if someone wanted to do something with Starro that they would let them do it. But basically just to kind of, this is, it's Gonzo, and it's at the end of Metal. If you're familiar with the New God stuff, there's this thing called the Source Wall, and it's a wall that separates what came before and what is now. And at the end of, it's kind of like the barrier of the DC universe essentially. And at the end of Metal, they crack a hole in it and shit just starts pouring out. And so this is, because of shit pouring out of this, there are new threats, and the new threats are very large. But then there's also this kind of thing going on with Amanda Waller on Earth, where she decides to kind of mess with the program because Brainiac is the one that's trying to like get everything going. So they set everything up, and then Amanda Waller comes in with her countermeasures,
screws everything up,
setting the whole thing up. And I thought it was fun. I liked it. It looks cool. The coloring's a little wonky.
I know we really did. We really did tear it apart for a book that overall I'm absolutely totally into.
Yeah, yeah. And it has Martian Manhunter in it, and it has it's cool. There's like kind of, there are cool dynamics that you don't see, like Beast Boy hanging out with
Batman.
Oh man, no, it's not. Yeah,
I actually liked the little Batman interchange, which was cute.
Yeah, there was another really one awesome. Though where like it was Beast Boy and who was it? Someone cool.
I'm sorry. Elton John.
It was not Elton John. It was Beast Boy and, God damn it,
Raleigh Fingers.
Oh, Harley Quinn. Beast Boy and Harley Quinn. Sorry.
Damn it. I was really hoping it was Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but I thought you said Henry Rollins.
Believe,
and I was like, I could go for that.
That'd be good too. I think he was
Henry Rollins.
He was a relief pitcher, I believe, in the 70s.
Beast Boy and Jamarcus Russell.
Jamiroquai.
And who knows what else. It's just, yeah, crazy, over the top, goofy, silly, but, you know, not totally silly if you like cosmic crisis on an infinite Earths level conflagration comics.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
That reduces the entire Green Lantern Corps to a 1-inch strip in order to show, like, this thing that's like so much bigger than this like gigantic core of intergalactic space cops. You know, it's the scale of it is huge.
It is. It's very cool. I like the gigantic scale of it. And it's once I got used to how shiny everything was and the fact that literally everything glows for some fucking reason, everything glows. I can get over everything glowing because it is a really good comic.
But just, the thing for me ultimately is that at some point, it's like, it's cool to have these kind of new entry points or whatever. And now I've read online recently that DC is doing something like what Marvel is doing, where it's like they just went back to legacy numbering, but then now they're going to restart everything with number ones. And then like DC is going to do it. And they keep saying it's like the number ones sell better, but it's like, do they?
Unfortunately. I mean, listen,
every issue of a comic should just be number one.
Well, like, it's funny because it's Marvel actually has a series like that.
They do.
Their new kids series, the Marvel Superheroes books.
Uh-huh.
Every issue is a number one, which is clever because it basically is a new story each time. So why would you do anything but a number one? So for all intents and purposes, you do have like the first time
like Spider-Man, Black Panther.
That's
Marvel
it.
Adventures.
Yep.
Batman, Harley
that's,
Quinn.
That's the deal. Whatever. Yeah. So okay. It's everyone is like that, which you know is less a way to manipulate people than to give kids an entry point to be like, no, it's cool. You can buy your kid this one or this one if he likes these characters. There it is. Which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
But it's funny. I know a lot of people hate the legacy numbering and the number ones and all this stuff.
Really?
But for me, there are people who hate every different permutation of the numbering thing. It bothers people on both sides.
Which is why I don't understand that. It's like, just put them both on there.
Well, that's what has been happening.
That's what Marvel's been doing.
And I love that. I love the idea that like you can do this big long series and you have this continuous art team, same artist, same writer, and then 1 through 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it starts back at a new number one, but keeps the legacy numbering, blah, blah, blah. It helps you to know, it's like, listen, I'm only in this because Warren Ellis is writing it. So when Warren Ellis is writing Moon Knight, it's going to be 1 through 15 and then cuts. Yeah. And then the next one is going to be a new number one, and Warren Ellis will no longer be attached. It'll be the Brian Wood series. I love that idea, especially because it keeps the legacy numbering. You know, whatever, it makes it easier for me as a comic shop owner for all of my back issues to be like, all right, where do I fucking put this? I can't remember what volume this is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't need to figure out what volume it is.
Having
it's 755.
Number. Right. That's what I think that's what you need.
Because volumes were so goddamned confusing.
Yeah.
Volumes never made sense.
But and then also like constantly having number ones means you constantly have number twos. And like I said earlier, like people just don't give a shit about number two. And it's always been that way since I've been reading comics. Like number two was always the one you could never find because like the shops wouldn't even order number twos at half the things. And it's just like, we just get like 50 number ones. And then you end up with this really interesting scenario I encountered as a kid. Do you remember the Big Chicken Barn in Ellsworth?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so in Ellsworth, Maine, there's a Big Chicken Barn is the name of this place, and it is literally a Big Chicken Barn. And actually, a friend of mine owns it. They had Sledgehammer, the comic.
Ooh.
Which I loved the show Sledgehammer.
The Halloween special for Sledgehammer, just a side note, is awesome.
I believe that. That show was great. But they had 500 copies at least of Sledgehammer number 2. And I was like, this is where they all ended up.
That's
somehow
amazing.
They all ended up at the Big Chicken Barn. And I would go there and dig through the comics and just like, here's another Sledgehammer number 2. Here's another Sledgehammer number 2. And then you'd find, you know, like, but yeah. And
I wonder if Marvel did that over shipping thing back then.
I found an old 60s Spider-Man annual, the one that had the origin of his parents.
Oh, yeah.
In amongst the Sledgehammer number twos. And I bought it for nothing.
Oh, wow.
And I still have it somewhere. But maybe I don't. I don't know. I might have sold it.
All I know is that Marvel has done that to us where, like, Thunderbolts. I was like, cool, Thunderbolts is going to be great. I love this series. It's been so good. So fuck it, you know what? I'm going all in on Thunderbolts for this new series, the most recent one.
Okay.
You know, what? All in for something that I had zero subscribers for. So I got like 40 copies, 50 copies, something like that. I was like, I have confidence in this because Thunderbolts has never let me down. And they took an approach to make it a 90s style book that was like straightforward, written in a 90s style, and nobody dug it. Nobody wanted it. And I said, oh God, this is terrible. I don't want any more of these. So I cut my numbers down to like 2 because it was so bad. It was like absolutely garbage. But Marvel was expecting better sales for number 2. Everyone had this same reaction. I mean, probably not as drastic as mine.
Yeah.
But everybody dropped it. So Marvel free shipped me an extra 25 or 30 copies of number 2 and then another 20 copies of number 3. And it was like, I can't sell these things. I literally put them in the garbage.
Oh my God.
Like, I literally, they were just like, here you go. I know you ordered 2 copies, but here's 25. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, guys, thanks.
Have them fallen off your shelves.
Come on. There's a reason I dropped it down to 2, you know, I didn't drop Amazing Spider-Man down to 2. It's like, because it's garbage.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Numbers.
Exactly.
Stupid numbers.
Exactly. There it is. So, come see Sean.
Yeah.
Saturday night at the shop.
Saturday what time?
It is 5 to 7. Cool. And we have plenty of copies of White Knight number 8. In stock for him to sign. He'll also be signing copies of our magazine, which we'll have in stock. Cool. And that'll be awesome.
Is it only issue number 8? Is that a thing? Or could you bring other copies?
Could bring stuff in too. Okay. We don't mind. But
some people don't.
Rather have you buy it from us.
Well, right. No, I don't mean that. But like, if you need number 6,
oh,
whatever,
of course.
Sign that too.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely buy it.
There's no real weirdness going on. Except if you bring him that Teen Titans annual. He really hates that.
Oh, he did a Teen Titans annual?
Yeah, he did a Teen Titans annual. I thought it was amazing. I saw it and I was like, oh,
is it super old?
It's like 90s, but like he just like knocks the house style out of the park. Huh. Like he looks like Paul Pelletier, you know, like that kind of like exactly every fucking character looks perfect. And I was like, oh, I just didn't think you could do it. Like, maybe somewhere in my head I was like, oh, your style is a way to, you know, not have to do the house style. But, like, it's fucking great. He hates it. He absolutely hates it. But I was like, oh, wow, very cool.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah, I don't know. I would, if I ever see it, I'll take a look.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have a copy of it in the basement.
All right. Well, I'll
drag it
out
for you.
I'll never see it. If you drag it out for me, I will see it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.